The movie Sully hits theaters this month. It's the story of Captain Sullenberger and his crew and how they safely crash-landed U.S. Airways Flight 1549 into the Hudson River. It's a story that's become known as the Miracle on the Hudson. There's now a rose named in honor of the Miracle on the Hudson, and its hybridizer, Robert Neil Ripito, is with us. Stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at ManureTea.com.
Hey y'all, it's Chris Van Cleef. I'm the creator of the Rose Chat Podcast. For me, growing roses has become a passion. My membership in the American Rose Society has helped me to create the rose garden of my dreams, right in my own backyard. I also enjoy the camaraderie and support of a network of rose growers who are eager to share, learn, and grow together. To learn more about membership in the American Rose Society, visit their website, rose.org.
Robert Neil Ripito is a breeder with substantial experience in the field of horticulture. From an early age, he was captivated by the plants in his grandparents' garden, saving up his allowance to buy sweet peas and a wide assortment of cacti for the space his parents set aside for him. He was fascinated by nurseries and can still recall the names of some of the bare root roses he picked out with his mother. Robert joins us today to talk a bit about his hybridization process and some of his award-winning roses. It's time to learn from one of the masters.
Hey, Robert. Welcome to Rose Chat.
Thank you very much.
We're so glad to have you. Robert, you seem like someone who started their love of plants very early in life. Were you from a gardening family?
You know, I kind of was. My grandfather used to walk me around the garden when I could just toddle. So, yeah, I've been doing it for a long time.
We find those family roots do run deep. I've heard that you use a lot of Lady Banks in your hybridizing process. So why is that?
Well, you know, when I started breeding roses, you know, I didn't want to just kind of do the same thing that had been done over and over and over again. And Lady Banks offered a lot of things for my climate where I'm living now. We're a warm winter climate. It's a smooth rose, which I find, you know, very appealing. It only blooms once, but it's a, you know, an amazing display when it does bloom. It's also very healthy. You know, those were good reasons to try to develop a repeat blooming type of hybrid Banksia that we might be able to all enjoy in our gardens, at least those of us, you know, in the southern climates or climates where it doesn't get too cold.
How many roses do you think you have hybridized in your time?
You know, literally thousands, and I couldn't even begin to tell you. I couldn't begin to tell you how many roses I have out there right now. There are thousands. Less every day because I pull them out by their little roots when they don't please me. But fortunately, they don't have feelings, so it's okay.
Shuffle pruning is allowed. Shuffle pruning is allowed. You know, there's just so much space to go around. So what does a rose have to do so it doesn't get plucked out of your garden?
Well, you know, it takes quite a long time to evaluate a rose, and I'm a fan of roses of all types. I enjoy single roses, you know, and of course I enjoy the types that we cut and bring indoors as well. But, you know, roses are a big topic. I think most of the rose growing public isn't quite aware of the range of varieties that are available, but it really depends on what the use will be. My big success has come with, you know, landscape shrub types, but, you know, I can breed any kind of rose. And so it really just depends on what it's going to be used for.
Well, you sure got our attention at the 2014 Biltmore Rose Trials. We had the opportunity to observe one of your beauties. And at the awards banquet, we heard over and over and over, Miracle on the Hudson, best shrub, best growth habit, most disease resistant. And then the big one, best rose in the show. So how did this rose find its way to the Biltmore?
Like a lot of people that breed roses, I had started doing it in my spare time, and I was just playing around with it and doing it for my own personal enjoyment. Somewhere along the way, I met Pat Henry. She was out here for one of the rose functions, and I met her at the Huntington Botanical Gardens. And Pat and I hit it off, and I explained that I had been hybridizing roses. And so I offered to send her some to test in her climate. That's basically how it got to Roses Unlimited. It happened to be one that they noticed right away, and they were actually the first ones to introduce it. And Pat asked for the rights to name it, and I agreed. And it's turned out to be, you know, a wonderful, wonderful thing for all involved.
Well, I can tell you that when we judged Biltmore that year, that was a rose that everybody noticed. It was just a standout from all the others in that garden, and people were just drawn to it. It's such a beautiful, we call a single rose. That's the color and the depth of that red with the contrasting stamens really says something.
It's kind of a chameleon. It does change a little bit throughout the year, too. It gets some dark shading. You know, landscape roses don't have to have a lot of petals. And in fact, it's probably preferable that they don't. You want something that creates a lot of color in the garden. And my goal was to create something that was basically totally carefree. You basically don't have to do anything to it. It's got a beautiful growth habit on its own, so it doesn't really have to be pruned too drastically ever. Really was just kind of a culmination where everything just kind of fell into the right place, and we got a winner out of it.
Well, Pat seems to know a winner when she sees one. But I can tell you, I'm not in the South. I'm in the Midwest, and that rose is doing very well for me. Just blooms and blooms and blooms. And I find, just like you said, pictures just don't do it justice. It's just a very rich bloom. My iPhone camera just can't quite capture it, but it's a lovely one and does so well here.
Yeah, that red tends to overwhelm the lens, which I guess is a good and maybe a bad thing, because it, like you say, it doesn't photograph as well as it looks in person. But as Chris mentioned, it is an attention getter in the garden.
I'll tell you, it passed the front yard test in my garden. We live in a neighborhood that is restricted, you know, for our homeowners association. They only allow you to plant certain things, and it passed the test, and our shrubs are planted right at our entryway. So everyone who comes to our home sees these roses, and inevitably they have something to say about them.
Well, I have a feeling you're the envy of the neighborhood.
Especially with those there, so.
They do get a lot of attention. In fact, this year I found that a lot of my local garden centers were carrying this rose, and they were all excited because they had heard me talk about it. So they're like, oh, look what we have, look what we have. So it was good to see it so readily available this year.
Yeah, it's taken a while for the distribution to build, and now it is becoming more widely available. And as you mentioned, you're gardening in the Midwest. I think the cold tolerance for this rose is probably going to be a bit better than we thought it might be. It's still being tested, but it looks like it's going to be fairly hardy, as well as being disease resistant and very colorful. So the distribution is growing, and I think throughout the Midwest, we're looking. I think Lowe's stores have been carrying it, and of course a lot of the independent garden centers are carrying it at this time. But
we actually got ours at Costco.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, they had a huge display, and as soon as we walked in the door, my wife is like, Miracle on the Hudson, Miracle on the Hudson.
People keep telling me that they saw it here or there. We don't see it much here on the West Coast, but we're not as big a market for shrub-type roses. But I have a feeling we will be seeing it here. It just, for whatever reason, has caught on in the East and the Midwest more so than here on the West so far. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in my local garden center. I haven't seen them here yet.
Robert, with all the crossing and all the roses that you've created, what are some of your favorites?
You know, I enjoy so many types of roses. you know, there isn't a class of rose that, you know, I couldn't begin to name, you know, one after another that I'm really fond of. You know, I started with old roses, collecting old roses, and became involved in the Heritage Rose groups, and there's some wonderful people involved with that. But through the years, I've there's certain ones that do better in my climate, and those tend to be favorites of mine. If you want to give me a class of rose, I mean, I could probably narrow it down a little bit, but I do have a wide variety of roses that I am fond of.
Can I ask about polyanth?
You know, polyanthus as a group are kind of been forgotten, I think, by the rose growing public, but, you know, they're very, very useful roses. And one of the things that's held them back possibly is that the range of colors in the polyanthus isn't quite as good as in some of the other classes. But, you know, I love, oh gosh, things like baby Phorax and Clotilde Saper and Marie Pavier, Pearl D'Or. I love Pearl D'Or, a very, very healthy little rose. There's one called Violet Hood that I think is very striking. You know, the polyanthus are all bred from multifloras, so they tend to do, I think, a little bit better in places where there's more of a climate change. We're a little bit mild here for polyanthus to thrive as much as they probably do for you there.
Well, you know, here in central Alabama, we grow, Caldwell Pink or Pink Pet, I think that's what it's called. And it took several years for that rose to really come into its own in our garden. But now that it's established, it just kind of takes off.
You know, Pink Pet is just a weed here. I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful rose. It really grows like crazy in this climate. Unfortunately, it's sterile, or I would have tried to use it as a breeding rose, or as far as I know, it can't be used for rose breeding.
Well, what about the classics? What about the hybrid teas?
Hybrid teas. Well, you know, I grew up with the classic hybrid teas, and I still love, you know, all the ones that we all love. You know, the first one that comes to mind would be like Mr. Lincoln, Oklahoma, Chrysler Imperial, Double Delight. The list goes on and on and on. They're beautiful roses, and they certainly have a place. But unfortunately, they're in many climates are just not as healthy or as easy to grow as some of the newer roses that are available. You know, not that I won't always love them. It's just that, you know, they do take a little more work.
California is certainly the place for roses, especially those that you just mentioned.
Yes, it allows us to Californians to be pretty lazy when it comes to growing roses, I'm sorry to say. But with roses like Miracle on the Hudson, you know, people in other climates will have the same experience. You really won't have to plant them every year and all those or have to worry about using fungicides or pesticides as much, you know, the old hybrid teas.
You know, with that said, as far as, you know, hybridizing on the West Coast, how important have these rose trials become to your breeding program?
Chris, they're extremely important. You know, every time we make a new rose, it's basically a roll of the dice. We really don't know of those genes that we're looking to move forward, get passed along. So rose trials are extremely important. Right now, it's a little bit hit and miss as to where we can send roses to get them trialed. But, you know, I produce a lot of roses, and unfortunately, that takes a lot of space to trial all those roses, and it's expensive to do all that work.
Well, as we were talking about, regionality just means so much. You know, is it going to do well here? Is it going to do well there? You know, is it going to do well at the Biltmore? Is it going to still do well at my house during the cold winter? So all the testing has just helped us so much to get the right rose in our backyard.
If I had to give rose advice to anyone, I would say find the roses that do well in your climate. Seek out those roses. Speak to your local rose society. Find out which ones are best adapted to your climate, because it makes a tremendous difference in your success and how much enjoyment you'll receive from gardening. So if you start out with the right roses, it's a no-lose proposition, really.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.